welcome to the podcast. Hella dope. Black on Black on Black, and you are here with DJ Queen and
D Fantastic.
Yeah, energy.
You know, I normally come in real hard with it. I decided to soften it.
You know,
it today.
Look at you.
I wanted to soften
look
it.
Look at you. You change up. You know what? The switch up is nice.
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I agree.
So, welcome, y'all. This is Black on Black on Black. You are here 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We are here every Monday. And this is a show dedicated to a Bay Area native and a transfer from
the Sizzity South.
Let's go! And exploring the real San Francisco larger Bay Area, finding scenes, creating memes, and being obscene. Listen to the show to find out what's going on in the city, where to find it, and to learn about the local artists who make it all happen.
Let's go.
Let's go, baby. Mm-hmm. So I hope everyone had a good Valentine's Day. I believe today is President's Day.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. So
I am not a president, and I will never be.
Not my lane.
Nah.
So we have dedicated this show to Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Specifically looking at Black love.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Great little weekend, you know?
Yeah, because in case y'all didn't know, both Dee and I are Black.
Yes.
Allegedly.
You know, it would be bizarre, and anyone ever trying to convince anyone that I wasn't Black, I'd be like, what do you mean?
Look at me.
Look at me, bro.
You think this is possible?
Is this any, where else could I come from?
I don't know, bro. Rachel Dolezal fooled. She fooled the NAACP.
That's fair.
That's crazy.
That's fair.
It's crazy.
To be fair, I bet there's always another, weird group of ethnicities that can make someone that looks like one ethnicity. Does that make sense? A weird hodgepodge or something that somehow makes it?
Yes.
I feel like that could always happen.
Yes.
So, but who, you know?
I don't know, man. Rachel Dolezal.
Maybe someone from India, and then maybe a Jewish person.
We're getting into a weird game right now.
Sorry, I got really distracted.
We're about to have a whole sidebar.
Yeah. No. Let's stay on track.
So I will toss it over to you to go through the events.
Yeah,
okay,
so
this week.
So as it should be obvious, it's Black History Month. So the only events I'm going to be talking about are Black History Month events.
Yes.
The first one that's coming up is the 9th Annual Black Joy Parade. That's happening this Sunday at 12:30 p.m. It's going to be downpouring.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, we're probably not going to go.
No, I'm not.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Because Maya's headlining.
Yeah. So that's what I want to say. So this parade is awesome. This is the 9th annual one. And it's happening on this Sunday, the 22nd. It's celebrating, obviously, Black joy, businesses, art, music, community, all that, right? And so people are encouraged to kind of, recognize the vibrancy of Oakland and its Black community through this parade. It starts at 12:30 p.m. at 14th Street and Broadway, and then will end at Broadway and Grand Avenue. So this year is Bold Blackness, and they want to highlight Black creativity, innovation, and basically how Black people shape and define global culture. So a couple things about this: 200+ Black-owned vendors. So that's going to include food, drinks, clothing, handmade items, and more. You've got two stages for Black performances, and the headliner is going to be Maya.
My love is like whoa, mom.
And also, you're a superstar. Ghetto superstar.
Ghetto superstar.
Yeah.
That is what you are.
Exactly. Okay, so then it's going to be Maya's headlining, and the Black Joy Choir is going to be on the other stage. So there's going to be all sorts of stuff for kids. You've got games, and there's a little healing village, and there'll also be official merch this year. So,
damn, bro.
It sucks because it's going to be raining really hard.
Do you think it's just not going to happen? I feel like it should just not. If it's going to be a downpour like that.
I know, but they can't reschedule it.
They should have moved that shit up to Super Bowl weekend.
Well, yeah.
And
then had it on the Saturday instead of the Sunday.
Yeah, and then just decided to not do anything.
They didn't do anything.
Anything.
Crazy. Who influenced that? That seems like bizarre. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I feel like Oakland was worried about the shenanigans that could potentially pop off.
But like, I mean,
those shenanigans always have potential to pop off. I know, but like, no.
Maybe they got too many tips of things.
Yeah, I don't know.
It still sucks though.
If somehow miraculously that weather forecast change, I will definitely be out there.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a good thing to do after Saturday to kind of like recenter and be around positivity. But
I'm not doing rain. That sounds crazy.
That sounds like
a good way to get sick.
Yeah, I'm barely not sick now.
We are still supporting this event, though.
No. You should still support it. Maybe you can buy the merch online.
Yeah.
There's also the 4th annual So Chocolate Festival.
Hey.
That felt really silly to say. So that's on Saturday, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., and it's at the Sankofa Sanctuary. Mm-hmm. That's going to be off of 73rd Avenue. And it's hosted by Black Cultural Zone, CD. And so you get ready for just a night of indulgence, bro. Like, you just lock in, and it's going to be chocolate and wine the whole
fine. I love that.
Yeah. That's going to be cool. Then Generations, the Black LGBTQIA+ History Experiences, that's happening on the 27th at Fluid 510. And that's off of Broadway.
Yep.
From 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So basically, it's highlighting how Black queer people have always been central, right, to civil rights and liberation, and they've just helped reshape the world through courage and leadership. And so this generation's 2026 Rooted in Legacy, Rising in Power honors this lineage, basically celebrating both ancestors and then today's change makers within the Bay Area's Black LGBTQIA+ community. So it uplifts activists, artists, organizers, people whose work continues to basically struggle for the collective freedom. And this night will conclude with the Generation's mini ball and after party that's going to be showcasing queer joy, excellence, you know, self-expression, all that. So that's going to be really cool.
That sounds really cool. I'm not getting my hair done that day.
Right. And then lastly, the Oakland Freedom Run, that's on Saturday the 28th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's going to be starting at Raimondi Park. So they're celebrating the 60th anniversary of the Black Panther Party. It's awesome. On the 100th year anniversary of Black History Month, let's go. Join this symbolic run to represent the ongoing journey towards freedom, justice, and health equity. So yeah, you can participate and nourish the community, basically, right? It's a little wellness festival, and it's all supported by local healthcare providers and mental health services and stuff like that. So yeah.
Maybe we should get out there.
When's that? On the 28th? I think that's that housewarming party that one of our friends is throwing.
Oh.
I'll talk to you about that online, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's for littles.
Right.
Yeah.
I do have a...
Yeah.
I have a little,
yeah,
so...
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. And you're like, I mean, do you? So those are the events, basically. So yeah, lots of good shit. I mean, honestly, there's so much fucking amazing Black History Month event out here. Yeah. Like, you just...
I mean, Oakland does it big for Black History Month every single year. Even if they decide to take off the first weekend of Black History Month, they still do a lot. I'm interested in the Oakland Museum and sort of what exhibits they may have going on too.
Yeah,
I'll have to check that out. And if something interesting, we will report it back to you all next week.
Yeah, go
out there, celebrate Black joy, celebrate Black resistance, Black excellence, if you so choose to indulge. Love on each other as Black people. Also, love on your Black friends always.
Hell yeah.
Always.
I mean, I hate this bitch, but it is what it is.
And now for some Black dates.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Last Monday, around 1,500 students walked out of several... Aurora. I know that's... Aurora area schools to protest federal deportation policies. But the demonstration escalated when police intervened as students moved toward downtown. According to the Aurora Police Department, some students entered traffic, leading officers to physically restrain several youths. Actions that sparked public criticism after video circulated online. Three students from East Aurora High School were arrested during the confrontation, including one accused of punching an officer, and many witnesses said that the police response appeared aggressive toward minors. While students from across Aurora and nearby Chicago participated, District leaders reiterated that walkouts are not sanctioned and students who left campus face attendance consequences. The incidents has prompted demands for an investigation and for charges against the students to be reconsidered.
Yeah. Interesting stuff there.
Yeah, there's a lot of youth demonstrations going on. There was one here and also in the Bay Area in the San Lorenzo area where students also walked out.
Yeah.
I do think because in the Bay Area there's such a history of protests that and a history of police officers getting sued for the way that they deal with protest, like the Oakland PD has a whole entire like protest protocol that they have to follow before they intervene.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I mean, because it's Oakland, the home of protests.
It's always disturbing to me to hear about areas
stuff like that. Escalating.
When youths are being manhandled or in any way have a super aggressive when they're using their rights.
Yeah, and it's like come on now. Like, I mean, yeah, these kids are annoying, but what? Like
they don't get to vote.
And I mean, what is this scrawny 16-year-old actually going to do to you? And y'all niggas all have weapons. Like, I mean,
I know they were just in white riot gear, which means a punch to where, bro? Like, you got in that glass?
Push them off of you. Like, come on. Like, I get it. But like, you're supposed to be trained to handle those sorts of things. Because what the fuck does escalation do besides just maim and hurt people?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that I don't escalate situations, but I am learning to not do those things.
Love that piece of self-accountability in that moment.
But I am, you know, I have been better. I feel like I have been better.
Yes.
Right?
You know?
When's the last time you see me wild out? Like, for real? Like, wild out.
Give me a moment to think about that. I'll come back to you.
Come back to it.
But won't he do it?
Yeah, won't he do it? Exactly. Okay, so yeah, go ahead.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention this week announced more than $600 million in cuts to public health grants in California, Illinois, Colorado, and Minnesota. Basically, fuck them niggas. Four Democratic-led states. Right away, attorneys general in the affected states filed their lawsuit late Wednesday in a federal district court in Illinois asking for the temporary restraining order. And the next day, a federal judge blocked the Trump administration's action with a temporary restraining order released late Thursday. A joint statement from other affected public health departments said the cuts could affect everything from HIV prevention in Chicago, firearm injury reduction in Denver, and across the affordable healthy foods in Minneapolis.
Like what?
Fuck them niggas.
Yeah, it's so like cartoonishly evil. It's weird.
Yeah,
like it's like what? You know, we're cutting funds for this.
And as somebody who works, I work parallel to pretty much government. Mm-hmm. I interact with them on a pretty daily basis.
Right.
I can tell you as like a contractor that's hired in, they're struggling.
I know. And they're stressed.
And they're stressed the fuck out.
Yeah.
Health agencies, it's looking like a circus in there. The amount of positions that just disappear and they just have to roll with it is scary.
Yeah.
Is scary.
And it's crazy because people don't understand, like, yes, they're understanding what the cuts mean, quote unquote, like, yeah, like no more money, but they don't understand how structurally damaging that is, which means research is getting lost.
Yeah.
Like research is getting lost. People are getting displaced. Yep. People are becoming unhoused. Like, I mean, it's all trickling down.
Yeah.
And when you lose a structure of a research organization like that, you're losing data.
Yes.
You're losing people who are knowing stuff. Yes. We're like in the middle of something.
Mm-hmm.
Like breakthroughs are being impacted. So it's not just about, they're firing people. It's like y'all, like they're like pulling strings. You're basically, you know how like when you see a little thread on your jacket or whatever, you pull and just kind of
it just unravels everything.
It doesn't start just from there. It kind of just becomes loose everywhere.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is when you make those cuts.
Yeah. It's really damaging to the infrastructure.
So you're basically impeding our health system, it's dangerous. It's very worrisome.
It's on all fronts. Like it really, as Dee was saying, like it's from what I've seen, it's like it's meaning that handoffs that need to happen between when a patient is in intake to maybe a referral to another organization that can provide them with the intervention service are not happening because there's no one there to pick up the phone.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and that person gets lost in the shuffle because if you're an individual individual with that high of a need, it may be hard for you to be persistent about getting the support that you need, you know, or you might just think like, oh, this isn't the right information because no one was there to pick up the phone. Like it's really, it's scary, you know, these cuts, like they're saying they're targeting, but actually they're just weakening the whole entire infrastructure for these states that are being impacted.
Yeah. And they're all like left-leaning states.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's so obvious, you know, like, California, Illinois, Colorado, and Minnesota are all where those cuts are happening. Four Democratic-led states.
Fucking crazy.
It's like, fucking it's purposeful. Crazy. It's wild.
Yeah. On this episode of The U.S. is on Fire.
Yeah. There you go.
It's time for some black joy. Doechii comes out as a lesbian. No one is surprised.
I was like, I knew that this was had to happen and stuff. So just to be clear, she officially does not interact with men.
Yeah, I mean that's in the
at least right now.
At least right now, sure. Right? Because sexuality is very fluid, which means you could identify one way now, and like a year or two, you could identify differently, and that's just the beauty of sexuality.
Yeah.
And so, Doechii put on her bio lesbian, which means at this time she is for sapphics only.
Yeah.
She's a sapphic girl.
Yeah.
And we love that for her.
Good for her.
You know? No one is surprised.
The women are thriving.
I want to know who her partner is.
Is she with somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
know. Oh, yeah. She said that a while ago on the Breakfast Club. They asked, and she said she was with a woman, but she would not identify. I hope it's her DJ.
Oh.
Yeah, the one maybe. With the long red braids. I don't know. They have such good chemistry together, but it could just be creative chemistry.
Yeah.
So, The Denial is a river performer who has spoken candidly about her queerness in the past, recently updated her personal Instagram bio to include the message, home life, wellness, books/essays, clubbing, lesbian, luxury, travel, beauty, music, side quest, fashion, more. I love that she literally put it right in the middle. Yeah, lesbian. Luxury. Yeah.
And just keep it moving. Keep it moving.
2 years earlier, she told GQ that she became more comfortable incorporating queer references in her music after getting more gay friends. I always knew that I was queer and I was bisexual, but I didn't really feel comfortable talking about it because nobody around me was gay. She said it was just like a very common black experience, I would say. It's also just a common queer experience. I think officially only what, like 3%, like the amount that identifies as queer in this country is actually pretty small, regardless of what conservative media might be trying to push on you about those numbers of an agenda. You know, gay people just want to be happy. That's all we just want to thrive and be healthy and be left the fuck alone to live our little queer lives.
Yeah.
And so I'm so proud of her, and nobody is surprised.
No one
is surprised, and I love that she was able to put up this date in the way that she wanted to come out about it.
That's awesome. Good for her.
During Black History Month, President Trump is excluding the country's only black governor from a bipartisan governor's dinner. Maryland Governor Wes Moore says he does not know what Trump's intention or reasons are for this decision, but says that the optics are not lost on him as a black man. When he asked why he thinks he's being singled out, Moore noted that his inability to speak to the president's heart, but rather focused on his actions. I do want to be clear to the president respectively. You do not determine my worthiness. Yes. God determines my worthiness. The people of Maryland determine my worthiness. They are who I am. Answer to not him. And I have been very clear with the people of my state that I will work with anyone, but I will bow down to no one. Stand on that shit. And I think the president has a problem with that, probably. But the chances are high.
I had to put that quote in there because he was like, fuck that, nigga. Like, I will say and perform and do whatever I need to do because I'm here for my people. I'm here for my state.
I ain't shucking and jiving for no one.
Hell no.
This ain't no cakewalk. What are we doing? No.
Craziness.
And it's just honestly like so disparaging that during Black History Month there has not been one post that has come from that office celebrating it, acknowledging it in a respectful way.
Nothing.
No, instead they put up a video of Barack Obama and Michelle Obama as monkeys.
Right.
And tried to say like, oh, it's Lion King. There are no monkeys in sub-Saharan Africa. What are we talking about?
Right.
There's no monkeys in that movie. Yeah. What are you thinking? It was Tarzan?
A baboon, but that's it.
Like what is happening?
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on from ridiculous to other depressing news. Newly released Epstein. That's just the state of our world right now.
I know.
Newly released Epstein files reveal extensive political and institutional ties between Jeffrey Epstein and Israel long after his 2008 conviction. Yo, the conspiracy theorists of Jeffrey Epstein being a member of the Israeli army are going up right now.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, I told you. They were like, I called that shit. So this is including communications with former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak, efforts to leverage U.S. presidential candidates for Israeli media exposure and intelligence-linked financial schemes, largely absent from New York Times coverage.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of things that aren't being talked about right now in media.
Yo, bro.
Honestly, this is probably one of the most kind of disturbing times for me as a public relations person,
yeah,
is watching all of these outlets just stop talking about shit that they should be.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is happening? Maybe this happened before and I was too young to notice, but this is my first time being like, wait a second. There's a lot of news that is not being talked about. What the fuck is going on?
I think during 9/11 there was also, but not to this degree. This is a different beast.
It just feels like it's like, wait, what the fuck?
This is different.
You would still have people from, like, you know, the New York Times or Huffington who would just say, fuck it, I'm gonna tell the truth. Where are they?
Them niggas have been killed. I'm so serious. Like, the amount of journalists that have disappeared or died during this time is incredible.
In the U.S.?
Yeah, the amount of whistleblowers.
What's going on? What the hell?
The amount of both whistleblowers on, like, a whistleblower on AI research, mm-hmm, he died mysteriously.
I heard about that.
There's a bunch of people mysteriously dying. Like, a bunch of whistleblowers. A homeboy for the airplanes, like, he mysteriously died. Like, niggas are being killed. And also I think that the Trump administration has threatened a lot of media companies.
Yes, or
has bought them to, like, make sure that they can tell the story in the way that they want to tell that story. If you look at sort of the press conferences that are held within the White House, they are downright aggressive with any of the news outlets that are coming there to ask questions, especially if they are foreign news outlets. They are being very antagonistic, spinning out words, making it seem like people, like, I would say maybe akin to what happened during the Red Scare, you know, where the real life people were.
I can see that.
You know, but it's scary.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild.
But congratulations to, like, the Jeffrey Epstein conspiracy theorists who were like, oh,
yeah, this thing's from Israel.
This thing is part of the Israeli army. Because niggity up.
You guys got it.
Because they were like, this nigga is working with the Israeli government. And I was like, you know what? There's so many conspiracy theories. And then look at them.
Yeah. All right. God damn
it. It's your day.
Yeah. What is another conspiracy theory that's recently been, like, you know, proven? Aliens.
Oh, yeah.
And we just didn't care. I think we all knew, though.
I mean, that shit also came out, like, during the pandemic when we were all fighting for our lives.
Yeah.
And in the Bay Area, there was that day that it was orange. I think that shit was also going on.
Yeah.
There was a lot.
There was so much going on.
Yeah.
I also think, I don't know many humans that were literally like, no, there's no such thing as aliens. So I think we were just like, okay, yeah.
Remember homeboy who was down there at Area 50, what is it? Is it Area 51?
51, yeah.
Yeah, who hit the Naruto run?
Yeah.
I was like, why is there a black anime nerd out there?
I was like, oh my god, dude. That's classic.
I'll tell you, this is why, like, black anime nerds being popular right now is crazy to us.
Yes, because we were weird, dude. Because
we were those things.
We were doing those things, man.
Wearing the long coats in the class for no reason.
Yeah, and straightening the fuck out of our hair to grease it into really shitty things.
It's such a big bang.
Oh, God,
it was
dude.
A bang right here, baby.
I had, like, like hair that would go like this way over my eye.
Yes. Oh my god, how smooth, baby, smooth. Oh
yeah.
Oh,
we were weird.
Yeah, we were so weird.
We were so weird.
You know what? Okay. We did it.
I'm still weird, but somehow it's more acceptable.
It's cool now.
Yeah,
exactly, you know, exactly. I now have,
like, I do weird things.
I was molded in that weirdest shape by the darkness, grown in it.
Like, you know, every once in a while I want to punch my friends, and I don't know why. You know?
Yeah, I've seen you. I've been a victim.
I haven't hit you.
No. But like, you've cocked. You've cocked back.
But I don't.
But you're just like, I just want to.
You just a little bit.
Remember we were out the other day at a random club and I was just swinging my leg.
Oh, yeah. I was
fuck those things up, dude. It was a B-Day weekend. And you were just about to cock back on my
leg. No.
I was like, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Like, what are you about to do?
I don't know. I just, yeah.
You better go over there and try Lovecraft. Don't try me.
I would never punch Lovecraft. That's crazy.
You would. You would think about it.
I will.
Think
about sure, it. But not, you know. Anyways, go on. On
to our next topic. Reddit, Meta, and Google voluntarily gave DHS info of anti-ICE users, report says. Reddit, Meta, and Google voluntarily complied with some of the requests for identifying details of users critical of immigration and customs enforcement. Sent as part of a recent wave of administration subpoenas, the Department of Homeland Security has been distributing to big tech the past few months, according to an anonymously sourced New York Times report. Yep, there goes our everyday Gestapo.
Yep.
Bro.
They're on your shit, bro. They're on your shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, as it should be reminded, Meta means Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp. Means.
Yeah, bro.
So anything you've ever put on Instagram, anything that you said on that shit, yeah. Especially if you use any hashtags.
Yeah. Especially for folks who are WhatsApp, I know that is a popular app for those who have family that are foreign or, you know, I highly suggest for any organizers to move to Signal and to, for any chats, create some sort of a security code. Like, you can have disappearing messages. You can have, like, I just any, like, protect yourself.
Yeah.
Protect yourself.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you.
To move any conversations or anything, disparaging remarks, just shut it down.
Just shut it down.
Not Instagram, not Facebook, not WhatsApp, not Reddit. Like, and Google, that's everything.
Search for things. Yeah. Like, you, like,
use DuckDuckGo. You can use that one.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Is it DuckGoGo or DuckDuckGo?
I don't know. I have just recently heard about that one, though.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's DuckDuckGo. Yeah, use DuckDuckGo instead of Google. You know, I mean, just keep all these things in mind, guys. Mm-hmm, this is serious. Like I know I normally like us to have more fun black dates, but like, there's a lot of serious shit that happened this week. And I mean, this is important to black people.
Yeah.
Like, we're on these apps.
We're all part of
We're doing this shit.
We're all
part of this. Like, we have to know
and
this shit.
ICE is targeting black people. Like, don't be fooled. Like, they're targeting black people. And so, like, just stay informed, stay active, and stay safe, y'all. You know?
Yeah.
Like, organize smart, organize efficiently, like, really be critical of what platforms you are using and how you are using your voices.
Yeah.
And protect yourselves, protect each other.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, we'll get into Would You Rather for our first set of music.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Would you rather be forced to be on MDMA for a whole month?
Oh, my brain is going to kill itself. I'm going to need extensive recovery after that.
Oh, yeah, you might need to be in a psych ward, dude.
Yeah, bro. Because like,
you're going to be very depressed. You done burned all your shit out.
What's the ore?
Ore? And I mean, heroic acid dose for a week.
What do you mean a heroic acid dose for a week? Like, I take a heroic dose
and you're tripping for a week.
Like I'm going to take one dose and it's going to last a week.
Yeah.
Or it's like I, for a week, have to take heroic doses.
You're heroic that whole week.
I'm not gonna sleep.
No.
To be fair, MDMA, I'm not gonna sleep.
I mean, you might be able to like pass out every once in a while. Your body just may just stop.
I feel like that's because my heart's going to stop. I don't feel like that's going to be because I'm actually going to stop.
Right, you think your heart's just going to pop. Okay, I will guarantee you won't die in either one of these. You won't die.
I think I'll do the Hasid for the week. It's going to suck. I'm also not going to walk out of that the same person. But I can't do MMA. I cannot do that for a month. I cannot just do that for a month, bro. I got to work. I can take off work for a week. I cannot take off for a month. Like, I'm going to have to spend some of that at work. Dude, like,
the amount of weight you would lose would be insane.
Oh, my God.
You'd look terrible.
I would look heroin chic.
I think in the first week I start being like, hey, yeah, bro,
no, I think I'm gonna have to do it's gonna be horrible and someone's gonna have to stay with me the whole entire time.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
because someone's gonna have to talk to me. Like, you will be my totem.
You know what, I ride out for you.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be there for you.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be there for you till I couldn't anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be there for you.
Yeah, there would need to be some tap in, tap out.
Yeah.
Between
me, Deepa.
Yep.
Rafa. Yep. Yeah, okay. Yep. I think we got it.
Yep.
I think we got it.
Yeah. Which one you choosing?
Acid for a week. I think something's going to break bad. That's a long time.
MDMA for a month, my G.
I mean, I'm sure there's like medicine I can take.
Yeah, but you got a whole little.
I know.
How you gonna do that?
Sometimes it's gonna be really, really happy. Yeah, sometimes you're not gonna be really, really sad.
Yeah, bro. That's also gonna break you.
At least I could see my kid on MDMA. I couldn't even be around Fail on acid.
Yeah. And for full disclosure, MDMA for me for prolonged times actually really, really is bad for me. That's why I know I couldn't do, because I would get broken in that. Uh-huh, so I just can't. But like, if anybody else who can do it, right out, bro. I cannot.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I think acid for too long is too much.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to
roll, and it's gonna be horrible. It's gonna be a horrible time. That'd be a horrible time, you know. But like,
we're not doing the show during that time either.
Oh, I don't know what's gonna happen to me.
No, I imagine that I will need to be taken into the nature. Yeah. Sometimes.
Well, that's
nighttime is gonna suck.
Nighttime will be hard, but I have so many different movies and different like things we can do. Lighting, movies, music.
Yeah.
Like, bro, I got you. Like, I'm telling you, like, before you even took that shit, your whole place to be set up, I want to be set up.
I'd
be like, Sam, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to kick you out, because I need every room. Every room.
every room needs to turn into something.
Yeah.
My room got to turn into something.
My plan would be exactly that. Each room is a theme.
How you going to get me to eat?
Every once in a while. I think I'm just going to ask you the flavors. Like, do you remember what strawberries taste like? And you're like, I don't know. And just like, see if you'll eat it.
Strawberries taste like paper.
As long as we can get you to drink water. As long as you get your drink water. Yeah. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
And that seems fine. Yeah. Yeah. But the food, yeah.
It's just going to be horrible.
But I do imagine, I think mentally I have a better chance of coming back from MDMA than a week of heroic acid.
I think I mentally have a better chance of coming back from
the acid.
Yeah, than MDMA.
That's
just knowing what my mind does. Like, nope, I wouldn't. Y'all would have to say goodbye to Brittany. She's never going to come back again.
That's fair. Yeah.
All right, rolling into our first musical break. For our Valentine's Day playlist, we have coming up Real Love by Mary J. Blige.
I really want Say in the moon, all I need is about an hour. Maybe better yet, maybe Pushing through the six zone in the atmosphere. It's a litty pain saying, so he can make it clear.
I'm world were mine, I would place at your feet all that I own. You've been so good to me. If this world were mine, I'd give you the flowers, the birds and the bees. But with your love inside me, that would told you could have anything. If this world were mine, I'd give you each day so sunny and blue. If you wanted the moonlight, I'd give you that too. If this world were mine, I'd give you anything. Oh, baby, you're my consolation, and there's no hesitation when you want me. Honey, just call me.
And oh, you're my inspiration, and I feel so much sensation when I'm in your arms, when you squeeze me.
Every sky would be blue, long as you're loving me.
With you here in my arms, life is so wonderful.
Give me plenty loving, baby. Give me plenty loving, honey. Keep on loving me. Oh, 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 you know I need you, baby. Really, really need you, honey.
Keep on. Welcome back. This is Black on Black on Black, and you are here with DJ Queen and
D-Fantastic.
Sorry, I should have hyped that up, so I'm sorry, my bad.
No, you're good.
I'm doing my best.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed that last song, If This World Were Mine, a classic by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell.
Mm-hmm.
Fucked it up.
Yeah.
So welcome in. This is Black on Black on Black. We are here every Monday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And today we are doing our Valentine's Day special.
Yeah. So we kind of wanted to like just talk about some really interesting statistics surrounding black love, right? And just kind of like our own takes on them or whatever. So one thing that's interesting is that just in general, in the last few decades, marriage has just been declining amongst all Americans. Now, this decline is more evident in the black community. According to the Census Bureau of 2023, only 31% of black Americans were married compared to 48% of all Americans. And this is, so half or around 50% of African Americans had never been married compared to 34% of all Americans. I think this honestly plays into, part of the statistic may come from the fact of our historical prison pipeline. And a lot of our young boys just don't get like, and young adults don't get to stay in the communities that they're in for a long time.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think there is this culture of staying together longer, not getting married, just kind of like, you know, having kids or whatever amongst the black community. But again, it's from built the prison pipeline, and before that it was from, you know, pre-civil rights opportunities where black men are getting shot and killed for no reason. So I think that could be part of the element here, you know.
I also think that black people especially are waiting till later on in life to even get married. I think in this day and age, a lot of people are very, very professionally focused.
Yeah.
Which means that people are just getting married later, not until like their 40s, maybe even getting married. Some people are even waiting until their 40s to have kids.
Yeah.
And so I think that statistic can also, especially when I see people who have never been married, you know, I also think there could be a little bit of it
relating to the fact that people are just waiting until later in life to do those things.
Yeah, yeah. I also want to say, I think social media and the internet has really impacted how we view relationships.
Yeah.
And so some for the good, right? I think sometimes because of that, we have more representation of what relationships could look like. Mm-hmm. So both style as well as sexuality and gender, like all of that. Like, that's awesome. I feel like more people can access that. But then you have stupid gender war bullshit. Oh, you have shows like Pop the Balloon. While funny, like they aren't helpful in how we interact together as multiple genders.
Those,
you know?
That show is not about getting anybody together. That show is about how can I say the most mean, derogatory thing for shock value and clout.
Right. But it just seemed, it's a shitty, it's just, you know, with the premise, it's bizarre. So I think there's also that. But yeah.
Yeah, gender wars is crazy. I've had a while ago, I had a man ask me if I drink water.
What do you mean?
Nigga, let me tell you something.
Please.
Let me fucking tell you something. I had a man ask me if I drink water because he had watched one of those red pill shows that said that women don't drink water and that if women have a hard time actually sustaining themselves and without a man there to tell them to drink water, that they wouldn't eat or drink well. I looked at him. I had seen that video. And so when he asked me that, I knew exactly where that shit was coming from. And I was like, do you watch podcasts? Is that what he's like? Well, I was like, oh no, So stuff like that.
Right. I mean, that's insane. Like, that's an insane. No women drink water without men. I mean, what happens in the female prison? That's insane.
It was crazy. It was crazy.
Like, I mean,
we can't live without water.
We would die. We would die.
What are we actually talking about?
Yeah, it's so insane. Oh, whatever. Okay, do you want to talk about this next one?
Yeah. Sorry. After viewing the available data, we can see that although fewer black women are now married, more black women than black men have been married at least once. This is because a higher percentage of black women are divorced and widowed than men. Also in 2023, just under half of 49% of black women had never been married, which is up from 44% in 2008 and 42.7% in 2005.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think this just goes to what you're talking about earlier. Like, I mean, people are just getting married later and later.
Yeah. You know? I also think that because as we're seeing black women hold higher degrees, advance higher, I think whenever you have a woman who has more financial resources, it means that she doesn't stay around for bullshit longer.
Yeah,
means she has the availability to leave a relationship that is not serving her more. So this higher rates of, like, comparatively to before, of women leaving, sort of, it's not because women are being unreasonable or their standards are too high. It's because they have more they have more access to financial means that can
facilitate
that. Which
means it's a choice. We can actually choose things.
Yeah.
And before the overturning of Roe v. Wade, we even had more opportunity for choices. Being like, yeah, you can't baby trap me. Yeah. Like, I can choose whatever and however I want to navigate this relationship. Mm-hmm. If I want to stay, if I want to go, if I want to have your kid or not, you know?
Yep.
And that historically just hadn't happened until very, very recently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, what? Women weren't allowed credit cards until the 80s or some shit?
70s, bro.
Crazy. Fucking, like, it's
wild.
Just, it's so, so insane. So I think there's a lot of that too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So among those who are married or cohabitating, about 60% of black LGBTQ men and women have a different sex partner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, instead of having their same sex, you know, but I think that may just fall into, like, there's a lot of bisexual people, you know, pansexual, all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then 90% of black LGBTQIA plus said they separated, divorced, or broke off a significant relationship within the past year. And that survey was, like, in 2017 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a significant number, but I think it's just relationship styles are hard in general, you know? And if you don't have a lot of good representation, you didn't grow up with a lot of good representation on relationships, it can be harder to navigate.
Yeah, and one thing I have heard about LGBTQIA, because among queer queer women, the divorce rates are higher as well, is that when you have sort of same-sex relationships, the power dynamics are flattened out.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, what, especially in a woman, there's not a male, there's not sort of like this gender power dynamic, mm-hmm. and actually it tends to be within a sapphic relationship that financially that they're more comparable. So again, you see people leave because they call bullshit out earlier, or they realize that there's an incompatibility,
right.
Whereas there might be relationships where that incompatibility is still present, but because of either gender norms or because of a power dynamic that is there because of it, relationships are going on longer, even though they're horrible.
Yes, exactly.
So that also is a statistic with LGBTQIA, is that you actually see sort of an erasure of certain power dynamics.
Yeah.
And there's also a dynamic of the fact that there is higher domestic violence reports within queer relationships. That also tends to be a myth. What happens is that in the instance of experiencing domestic violence, one, they're usually mutual combat.
No one is hitting on the other. Yeah.
No, it's usually actually pretty mutual. It's not one partner. Right. Because it's actually pretty mutual.
Right. Right.
And those tend to get higher reported than in other like differing sex partnerships, because it's more stigmatized there.
Right.
And it's more sort of like shame there. So they reported at higher rates.
I couldn't imagine
well.
Fighting no bitch and then and being in love with her. That's crazy.
Woo!
That's crazy. There's no way.
Yeah, bro.
There's no way.
Yeah, bro.
Because I mean, like, I don't really fuck around like that. Obviously, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm straight. But like, you know, if I wasn't and all that, like, it's just, I couldn't imagine, like,
scrap.
Yeah, we're about to fight and I'm supposed to love you after that? Like, nah, dude.
We're done.
Yeah, like, no, we're done. Like,
you gonna take this ass whooping and then we gonna leave.
Yeah. And then we gonna leave. My shit, because that's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
You put your hands on me like that? Like, mm-hmm. nah, dude, that's mm-hmm. crazy. Mm-hmm. There's no way. There's no way in fucking hell. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I'm gonna do what I can. Shit, I'm not leaving there with nothing. I'm taking some.
I'm not leaving.
Nah. She getting this work for real.
So another statistic, 83% of black men with an income of 100K or higher are married to a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's right. That's fucking right.
Among that's crazy. That's 83%. That's a large amount.
Yeah. Which is like what it, among black LGBTQ plus adults who are married.
Well, hold on. Can we go back to that stat? I think what's interesting there is like, I think especially with the gender war nonsense of now, there's so many people being like, yeah, like black men don't love black women anymore, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, where are y'all seeing this? Most of the black relationships I see are black. They're both black.
They're looking at very popular celebrities.
They're looking at celebrities, but that's not real life.
And even within celebrities, there are a lot of...
A lot. Like Rihanna and ASAP, Beyonce, Jay-Z. Yeah. Like, what?
We'll go through a whole bunch.
Yeah, man.
And this is in no way to sort of... invalidate interracial relationships.
Right.
Both Dee and I are interracial relationships, and they are black love.
Yeah. we're gonna talk about that later.
But there is this sort of like narrative that tends to get populated, specifically that black men are not marrying black women because we're not feminine.